Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, Gitsy did say that our listening to our podcast was the equivalent of an audio orgasm. So I want to make sure that that got recognized because the man has a way with words, and that's a pretty high praise.
What's up, folks? It's another edition. It's Hitting the High Notes. Jazz Talking is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitter or X, whatever it is, at Who Trust Superman. Actually, if you just want to follow for basketball takes, you can follow me at Jazz High Notes number two, at Jazz High Notes number two, the Who Trust Superman account. Basically, it's a Britney Spears account now. You know, that's a good segue because we're bringing on my Britney buddy himself. It is the Squatches of Dragon. Dragon Squatch, what's up, man? Welcome back.
Good. Have you read the book yet?
It's in my Audible. But right now it's a weird time for me to listen to audiobooks. Like it's November or like after Thanksgiving, all my fantasy football pods kind of drop off, so I can kind of listen at that point. So.
Yeah, I mean, I even though I'm a former educator, I'm a famous not reader. I don't like to read at all,
right?
Which is a little contradictory, but you know, if there's something that might make me break out the old book, it's a Britney Spears autobiography.
The Britney Spears autobiography. So number one, we're seeing the stuff about like just apparently Justin Timberlake's just trash. Apparently,
piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So some people knew that already. This is not a revelation to some people. Michelle Williams reads the book, so it is funny because like she kind of like deadpan reads some of like Britney's stuff, and like there's like not really emotion there. She's like just the narrator, and so it's just like I'm seeing like TikToks and stuff, so it is interesting. The woman to me, so that's our book club recommendation. Maybe we'll do that. We'll put a little book club out there on Twitter, like hey, who's reading this book, and we can all read together. That'll be my first book club book ever. So, This is an awful segue to this, but we are brought to you.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. You dropped the Britney stuff. Am I going to come out of the gates with?
I don't know.
You go, Britney. I almost came doing spin moves with my butcher knives in my hands. Yeah. You know, so it was.
Do you think those knives are real or fake?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, there actually is because DJ actually has it on audio too, and she's been listening to it. Mm-hmm. And there is a basketball connection there. Did you know that Britney Spears is like an avid basketball fan?
Really?
Like a massive basketball fan. And like, I guess there's a lot of people in her family who play basketball, an uncle who's a legendary player in Louisiana, but she's like really into it. Because one thing the DJ thought was always so strange was when there was that weird incident with Victor Wembanyama. Remember when she went up
yes,
to him?
Yes, yes.
She was like, that's so weird. Why does she know who that guy is? And then she said, no, she's always been a huge basketball.
She knows ball. She knows ball.
I don't know what she knows. I mean, I'm asking DJ to give it to me secondhand. He really doesn't know ball either.
So do you listen to audiobooks? Or is that your thing?
Oh, I've never done one before, but I don't know. I may actually pick up the book for this one just because if I'm going to read a book, you know, I should actually read it.
if you want to read words on a page. That's not Mick Foley. It's going to be Britney Spears. So,
yeah, you know, every couple decades, I like to you know complete a book. It's, you know, the bookography is very strange. There is some you know multiple versions of Chris Jericho's biographies.
Yep,
there's
yep.
The autobiography of Malcolm X, which doesn't make any sense, but it was a good read.
And our heartbreak here is that we are brought to you by the Believe Network and BetOnline.au or. The last of the major pro sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time! Head to the Bet Online today and remember to use our promo code BELEAVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, Logan, so, I mean, books and...
Believe family, bigger than I thought. There's some folks I realized that I followed on... somehow we've had this weird crossover with Memphis Grizzlies Twitter, and I've got a bunch of Grizzly Twitter mutuals, probably from back when they were a likable bunch, right? And I saw that one of the ladies on there was like a member of the Believe Network. Don't ask me what her name is, so I don't remember, but I was like, what a strange connection.
Yeah, I mean, look, I believe that, like, so we were, when we first started, part of a much smaller podcast network, and now we're part of the Believe, which is, they're on TV. They got a lot of stuff going on. So you know, it's kind of nice that we're their Utah Jazz connection part of it. So, just this week they put us in a group chat on the Xer, and so now I follow a lot of B-League people. So it'll be nice to get some opinions from across the league here. And you mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies, the Jazz. We're recording tonight. The Jazz got their second win of the season. Just a dismantling of those sucky ass Grizzlies. I mean, no Ja Morant, and that team is just
Grizzlies are rough right now. 0-5. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, like they're 0-5, and like you watch them, and you're just like, okay, like that. That to me just kind of shows how important and good Ja Morant actually is. Like, I think Ja Morant's probably a top 20-25 player in the league.
That's true, but the weird part was he'd been out a lot the last couple of years, and they won without him.
Yeah.
Like in some weird some weird anomaly, right? But I guess I don't know. They did lose one of the Jones brothers, right? The backup point guards.
Tyus Jones. I think what you were actually getting at is that Mark of the 2 and 3s, he's gonna hate this, but Marcus is gonna hate this. That Dylan Brooks is what you're saying, that without Dylan Brooks.
Forgot about Dylan Brooks. Yeah, Brooks. He was Marcus Smart right now too.
He's the glue that brought everything together, apparently. Yeah. but yeah, the Jazz. I mean, nothing.
How are the Rockets doing then? I don't even know. I don't look at the Rockets.
Probably the same as the Jazz. I think the Rockets had a big win over the Charlotte Hornets today. So two problematic teams, basically. Who's more problematic, the Rockets or the
Hornets? For different reasons.
Right. Yeah. And so let me see. The Rockets
maybe not, actually, when you think about the coaching staff.
Right. Rockets are 1-3. So just behind the Jazz, who are 2-3, there's not much to say about the Jazz. Grizzlies, Jazz won wire-to-wire. Cool. Really cool thing. Something I've watched in the first five games. Our boy Utah Zone John Collins and Lauri Markkanen. I always say, hey, go get talent, go get the guys that you want, and then you figure it out later. And here are the Jazz five games in, and the Jazz have two of their best players are power forwards. They have five shooting guards on the team. It's all discombobulated. Like I think Collins is a talented player. I think Collins could be in the same tier as Lauri Markkanen. The problem is, I don't know if you can have both those guys on your roster and have them both be their full potential. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't worry about that one as much as I worry about, like you said, the log jam at guards. And I think that's part of the situation because I think that. I guess in my mind, I always thought that Collins was a 3-4 anyways, but maybe I'm wrong. And I think that Markkanen has enough, weirdness to his game that he can play a little 3 at times. And honestly, if you went small, quote unquote, you could play them at 4 or 5, right? So I think, I still am intrigued to see if there's any, like, you know, oh my God, I almost said mad scientist, almost threw it in my mouth. I'm still intrigued by that. I still think that I 5 games in, I'm not really super interested. I'm not committed to thinking that one's not a great idea, but you know, it has to change from what it is now. But yeah, the log jam at the guards that all seem to be the same player replicated is probably my bigger concern. And the biggest concern, that being that none of them are very good. I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I think that we talked about with Jared before that. It's definitely a mid-off. Like, If you're going to the Twitterverse to stake your claim on any of these guys' islands, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're just talking about five backup shooting guards is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and none of them are bad, but none of them are great. And they all have flaws, and they're all different flaws. But, like, there's no way you can watch THT. And I get that he's Benjamin Button. He's actually 16 years old this week. But he's been the same player since he's been in Utah. Nothing's gotten better. Nothing's gotten worse. He's nearly the same guy every single time. So the age 22 thing really holds less and less weight by the minute, right? Like, he's now how many years in the league? 4 or 5? Because he won a championship in the bubble, right? So this has got to be, what, year four or five for him?
Yeah.
I don't know that his game is going to change tremendously. And then, you know, we talked a while back when you had those inside sources because you were best friends with Colin Sexton's best friend.
Right.
I said, I didn't really have strong feelings about Colin Sexton. He's kind of forgettable. And maybe it's like a very small Rudy Gobert effect where some people love him so much I just start to go the other way. But, like, I don't know what it is about Colin Sexton, but I just don't like his game. I don't like it. I feel like the way he plays, he's too small to play that way. He plays like he's a overpowering 2-3. He doesn't really have guard skills in, like, passing and distributing. And
yeah, the funny thing is,
I think there's some Pat Ben fake hustle in there, too. I'm going to say it. There's some Pat Ben fake hustle where he does this full court press shit and ends up fouling the guy. And
the first quarter of today's game, because I was there and I was like, I was there with one of my anchors, and I go, you know, like, I'm really rooting for Colin. I want it to work out for him, but, like, I feel like sometimes he does two good things and then he does one, then he just kind of follows up with like three or four bad things.
Yeah, not our best night to do this when he leads up to the team but scoring.
Still the same thing. And that's the thing is that you know, like, you have Colin and JC who. I feel like their games aren't the same, but they kind of do sort of the same thing. Like, you're not going to be a lead guard with a Colin or JC. And it's funny because, like, there's those memes coming out, you know, the Gordon Ramsay memes of when he's, like, really, like, when he's on the adult cooking shows and he's, like, yelling at people, you donkeys, and... But then when he's on a kids chef show, like, he's, like, really sweet and it's like, oh, you poor little delicate flower and... You know, everybody hates Jordan Clarkson or, like, the other guards, and that's the you donkey Gordon Ramsay meme. But Jordan Clarkson, it's like, oh, you delicate flower. And it happened today. Like, Jordan Clarkson got free for a breakaway dunk, and the crowd just erupted. I'm like, wow, this is so weird. Like, they really love Jordan Clarkson. And that's just a long way of making it seem like, you know, I feel like those guys, it's the same thing with the other JC, John Collins and Lauri Markkanen. Their skills are not replicable or not. They're not the same. They're not alike. But I just feel like you can't have too many of these same players, or it's just not going to work. So, and then, you know, you have Dunn, you have THT. Like, everybody's okay at stuff, but they're not great at anything. You know, Jordan Clarkson and Collins, they can score. But they also don't do the other things well enough that you want them to be your lead guard. So yeah, the Jazz just have a lot of just different log jams everywhere, and it's sort of affecting players that we preseason didn't really think it was going to affect. Walker Kessler being one of them. Guy's averaging only like 19 minutes a game or something crazy. Like, he's not averaging 20 to 30, and people are sort of bothered by that. They think his game's taking a step back and. Now, Logan, we never said this on the podcast here, but in a roundabout way, we were kind of like Walker Kessler was fine and good, but it was all the untouchable talk. We're like, okay, he's not untouchable. We even talked about, what is Walker Kessler's, like, ceiling, you know? And I kind of said Steven Adams, and Steven Adams is nice, but, you know, you don't need to have Steven Adams on your team. So is there any... worry about on the Walker Kessler front for you?
The Walker Kessler stuff is really weird, right? Like, it's it went from Walker Kessler's untouchable to trade Walker Kessler tomorrow. I've seen some folks, I mean, but then there's still more defenders than there is detractors on his front. There's a lot of blaming other people. Like you kind of hinted at, it's the guards' fault because they're not good yet about getting involved in the action. I've heard that he just didn't get a break from basketball because he didn't really play for Team USA, but he was on the roster. Going back to the Team USA stuff is when I really started to, like, just maybe get my eyebrow up a little bit, because he wasn't playing with Team USA.
Right, Bobby Portis is playing with him, right?
Yeah, and it was interesting because Jazz Twitter – predictably was in shambles because Steve Kerr is such a, you know, Steve Kerr is such a fucking idiot. How is he not playing the guy when they're getting beat by bigs? Because the teams they struggled with were with bigs, right? They just got outsized. They just wanted to go after Steve Kerr. And I get that it's, like, really fun and popular and, like, trendy and, like, to hate the popular things, right? Like, it's really popular to hate Phil Simmons because he's so good at what he does. It's really popular to hate Phil Jackson because he's good at what he does. And so it's really easy to be like, Steve Kerr isn't a good coach. He's the most overrated coach of all time. No, he's not. He's not. I used to think the same thing about Phil Jackson when I was like 12 and I matured and realized that that's not really true. You don't win that many rings by just being bad. And so while those people were getting ready to blow up Steve Kerr, my thought was, and I think I tweeted this at Gets It a couple of weeks ago, and I said, what if Walker Kessler wasn't good enough?
Yeah.
Like, what if he just wasn't good enough? Like, I know that we got really excited for him, but what if he wasn't good enough? And I don't think that anyone really would even possibly entertain that idea because we saw a young guy with promise, those kind of unrealistic expectations creep in. And then plus, we've got this really weird fascination and hard-on in Utah for wanting centers to be great. And I don't know what that comes from, but he just, I don't know. Like, his body language has been rough. His attitude seems to be just surprisingly sour, right? There are some folks sitting behind the bench. I think it was one of the marks. I can't pronounce his last name, but he works what do the Claytons work for?
Salt City Hoops.
Yeah. He was sitting behind the bench and kind of tweeted that out as well.
Peroria? And then,
is it Landon? Who's the one who sits by the bench and shoots the videos up to you? He was saying, sorry, not Landon. Jesus, Landon's a terrible name. He was saying his response was, I saw similar things. So, that's concerning.
Frustration,
right? What I found most concerning tonight is what I looked at is he played 18 minutes.
Yeah.
I think you touched on that too. He's not even playing a lot of minutes.
The Jazz have just like, Kelly Olynyk just right now is a better fit with Laurie and John Collins. Walker starts. The starting lineup is sort of a mess. Kessler, Laurie, and Collins start, and they probably play the first like 6 minutes. And I don't have the numbers. I don't look at the data. Just from the games that I can remember, I don't think those guys play a lot of minutes together. Maybe they might start the second half. They probably do start the second half together, but it's a lot of combinations of the Jazz are playing three guard lineups a lot. If Ochai's not playing small forward, it's like Colin Sexton or Chris Dunn is playing small forward. And then they're playing like Olynyk and Laurie together and Collins and Kessler. But it's very rarely those three bigs are – they start the game and then they don't really use them a lot. So it's a little interesting. And I think, again, it's the fact that we have a lot of guys – again, they don't play the same. Laurie Markkanen and John Collins don't play the same way at all. But there's a something about, I don't think you can have both those guys on your team and be that successful. And that was one of my big worries about Laurie coming into the year, is that if the Jazz go find somebody who's in a tier above Laurie, can Laurie stay in that same, second-ish, third-ish tier that he's in? And it doesn't come down to like us. I'm not down on Walker Kessler. I just think there's a lot, and the frustrations and stuff. It's understandable. I get it. But part of me was just like, last year when everybody was just like riding, Walker's metaphorical dick. I was like, he's good. But he's not Jokic. He's not Embiid. People were calling him a future all-star, and I was like, I just don't see it. Unless you're like an offensively dominant center like Jokic or Embiid, I don't see it, right? And so,
well, I mean, the bar. I think what got a lot of people was the effort was there, because we love effort in Jazz.
We do love effort,
and it's better than wins. Yes, he was good defensively. He had some of those Rudy Gobert attributes that we love to compare everything to. And I think the difference was he showed signs of a better offensive game than Rudy, which doesn't take much. It's a really low bar, and that got people excited. But to your point, he's never shown flashes of like extraordinary skill, like the bigs that transcend the game. Post-up game like Embiid, he didn't show range. I mean, my God, Jokic is a goddamn point guard. Playing center, so he hasn't shown any of that. But he did look better than Rudy. So it's like, oh my God, he's got the defense and he can dunk, and now he's going to try to shoot threes.
And so
there was nothing there that was like, I think he has the potential to be a good starting center, an average starting center, good enough if the rest of your team is solid to maybe be a championship team. But he's not he's going to be a Valanciunas, Steven Adams level.
Right. Those guys that come to my mind because, like, those guys are good centers. They're maybe a little outdated in today's game. But, man, those guys are good. Those people are very likable. No one has that bad thing to say about Steven Adams. Valanciunas, in his couple stints with his teams, people seem to like him. But they just don't impact the game. You don't want them to be your second best player. But if you have like three, if you put Valanciunas or Adams on a super team, like, my God, it's over, right? And those guys are making a minimum contract. Because it's all about, like, how much can you fit under the salary cap. Everybody loves Walker Kessler when he's making a rookie scale contract. If he was doing what he did last year on, a $20 million contract, I think people would change their tune because it's a much different tier to get to. So
they've done it. Everyone does it everywhere, but did it real quick on Royce. So no, remember when Royce signed his deal and everyone was really excited about that?
Yeah.
You just barely invited me to pot. I said, watch. Yep. But sure, they're not going to love him as much. And sure enough, there was a lot more Royce O'Neal detractors that appeared as soon as you get paid. It's not as fun when you're the D-League guy,
right,
the G-League guy, and you get an invite. You said something earlier, and I was muted, and I was talking to myself. But you were talking about your concerns with Lori and John Collins and bringing in a player above Lori's tier. So are you saying you view Collins in a tier above Lori?
No. I think Collins could get to, like, the comps I always gave for Lori, right? And again, it's not about play style or like whatever. It's like where I think these guys are in the hierarchy of like top, pick your number, 30, 40, 50 players in the NBA. And I always put Lori like right next to DeMontis and Julius Randle. And so when I made those comps, I was like, I always say that, and maybe I didn't explain myself very well last year, is because I think those guys are really good. And, if they're the best player on your team, you can have a pretty good team. I just don't think those guys can be the best player on a championship team. But, Randle, Sabonis, Lori, all all-stars, number one. Number two, two of those guys were all NBA players. It doesn't mean, you say all NBA and people are like, oh, that's a top six or seven player in the position or whatever. But I think there's a little more nuance to it, I guess. But I think John Collins could actually get to that same level. Like, hey, if you have a John Collins on your team and he's your, like that Hawks team 2 or 3 years ago when, Collins had that great year and he was, playing second fiddle behind Trey. I was like, okay, like that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Like, you want John Collins to be like a Jaren Jackson Jr. guy. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. is obviously the second piece in that Memphis Grizzlies team behind Ja. And I think that's a good place to be. But look at the Grizzlies now with JJJ as the main player. It just doesn't work. So does that answer the question that you had, I guess?
I think I view it a little bit differently. I think this is going to be our you and I's Lori market this year, where I was just continuing to be hot on a guy and you didn't want to go there. But yep. I think I will give you this. Those two can't be the best players on your team. Mm-hmm. I think you still have to find that superstar. Unless Lori unlocks some unprecedented new potential or game, you'd have to make the same jump from last year to this year where you're like, oh my God, this guy is unstoppable. But
right.
I guess the way I view it is if you got two guys like that, though, if you give me two Sabonises and then we go out and find a star somewhere, then I like the makeup of that group.
Yeah.
But I think I was more on the fence last year with Lori. I want to convince myself, and Lori's a really, really great player. But, with so much talent in the NBA these days, we saw some things like you see teams, you don't see quite as many super teams winning anymore, which is fine, but all those teams definitely have those bona fide stars, right? Like those top five guys. It's still Giannis winning titles. It's still Jokic winning titles. So you still have to have that dude.
Right.
I love Lori, but I don't think he's got that dude in him.
Right.
The jump he took last year was great. If he could be a borderline all-star, borderline all-NBA guy for the next 5 years, that's fucking awesome.
And
I
think what people take offense to, because I think he's an all-star. Like he was an all-star last year, I think he can make another all-star game. I don't know if he's one of these perennial guys Giannis and Jokic and LeBron, like. Kevin Durant, those guys are already pent. Like those guys are sharpied in on the All-Star ballots, right? Lori's in pencil. Like you put them in pencil.
Maybe in that Boozer memo, mm-hmm. a little more than memo, but like Boozer, where it's like if things break the right way and there's a couple injuries and you really kick ass the first half of the year, you're probably got an all-star game, but you're not going to be. I put him a little bit above those guys because he did nearly crack the All-NBA, which neither one of those guys did.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, he was close. He was close. Yeah. I would like to see him do it for more than just last year. Maybe like Bradley Beal a few years ago. Like Bradley Beal wasn't like sharpied in, but he was pretty close. He was in dark pencil. Just someone in that tier. But you still have to be, you know, to get to that sharpie area is a pretty big leap.
You did mention my Washington Wizards, which I love and have a deep burning passion for. And I think this might be a decent transition for our next kind of topic here. But, you know, I have seen a couple clips of the Wizards on the Twitter with Jordan Poole doing Jordan Poole things and Kyle Kuzma doing Kyle Kuzma things. And I thought to myself, if you're going to stass, you might as well be entertaining. And they're not going to be good, but at least they're entertaining. And sometimes for the wrong reasons, right?
Right. It's funny. Colin Sexton's best friend. He's always like, "Oh, Jordan Poole's that guy." And I was like, "Jordan Poole is fine. Like, he's a good player. He's definitely not somebody you want as your top five players on a championship team. Like, he was great when he was cheap and with the Warriors, and he was playing behind Steph and Clay. Even when he was like starting next to Steph, like." Again, there are guys who are sharpies. Steph Curry, Jokic, Giannis. Like, you can put those guys raise up everybody else around them. And Jordan Poole's a good offensive player, but like every time I watch a player, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I would not want to pay that guy, you know, the money that he's making right now to play on my team. So, the Wizards 1-3.
Definitely don't want to pay him. I'm just saying, at least there's an entertainment factor. Whereas when we watch United with the Jazz, I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I should get excited or be sad.
Like, cause we had this conversation, you know, like just right before the season started. We're like, okay, what is it going to take for you to be excited about this Jazz team? Like, do they have to be a play-in team, a playoff team? And I think we all agree that like we assume the Jazz are going to be good enough to be in the play-in. And if they weren't, then we would probably be a little disappointed. So, I mean, look, it's a little, obviously this is too early, but you know, it's always fun to talk about things that change in just 2 weeks. So a week and a half in, five games in, how has your excitement level, I'm assuming, dipped with the Jazz?
I don't know that it's dipped as much as it's just like, when you asked me that question, I was like, oh, yeah, it's time to get back in the groove of Jazz season, right? Like, distracted by life, distracted by children, distracted by football, other things, you know? And so you don't really think about it. Like, wait, I haven't really had time to think about what I think about the Jazz.
The
NBA season. I tried to break it down. I'm like, this kind of cloud started sinking around. I'm like, wait a second. Like, I don't know what to think about them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't – this group that they had in the second half of the season wasn't good. And obviously they unloaded some guys in there. In their last second attempt to tank, but it's like it's a group that's hard to understand and hard to know what their direction is. And I think my fear is I know that they're 2-3 now and they need the brakes off these guys, but it's just I kind of feel that growing sense of I don't know that I'm excited about this group. I just don't know that I am excited for it. I think for the reasons we've touched on, the weird log jam of four guards, and I honestly don't like any of them, is weird. The Kessler stuff, sophomore slump or not. So you try to get yourself excited for, you know, Keontae George. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a rookie though. So that's kind of, and again, I'm not going to jump that far yet because it's only been five games, but it's hard to, I guess you get excited for that. I guess there's some intrigue in Collins and Markin. Can they repeat? But that's me basically saying I'm looking forward to player development, which is not necessarily associated with
team success. Yeah, team success.
So it's kind of contradictory, and I've never really been a guy who does get excited. I mean, I like to watch it in stretches, but really at the end of the day, you know, if you know, Keontae George goes off one game and the Jazz lose, you know, I'm still not I don't know. That's part of the core of my fandom, is I like to see W's. Like, right. I last year was the truest test of that, because my brain absolutely knew it was the wrong thing. I knew it was the wrong thing. And this year, I feel like I know it even more.
Right.
But I can't help. You can't help the way you feel when it happens. And when they would win and play well, I realized I enjoyed that a lot more than
right.
than losing. And I get the analytical point. I get the other sides of it. That's why I enjoy the sport. So yeah. Not going to change.
Is it are you saying it's like last year's team was like just more fun to watch because they hustled?
They were winning. I don't like we talked about. We don't necessarily break down all the different nuances of the game, but right. and you know, we'll get to this later. But I haven't really been able to watch any Jazz games either. So
yeah, that's true.
Some of it's going off of clips I've seen and other people's opinions and box scores. And, but yeah,
we have to say that later.
I did crack the second half of the game before this, where they lost to Denver.
Yeah,
I found some workarounds, but it was. I don't know. I mean, I just, when they're winning, it's fun. And even if they were winning in a boring fashion or exciting fashion, when they win the game, it's exciting. It's just that basic for me, I guess, which I'm learning. It doesn't require anything other than a win or a loss.
Right.
So,
I mean, guys, what was this team last year? Like last year, I think people were ready to accept it. You know, last year people were ready to accept that this team was not going to be good for a few years, but they had to come out and, you know, go, what was it, 10-2 in that first stretch and really, set people's expectations, and they were fun. They were enjoyable. They just did it in the wrong year, and it cost them, obviously. Or maybe they didn't. Obviously, maybe that's the wrong word there, but it feels like they cost them. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But yeah, like the Jazz, So I mean, I said same thing. I was like, I think this is probably at least a play-in team. Like they're probably 9th, 10th. They're going to be right there in that little 10 spot. And, you know, they've already screwed up their chance to, tank. So no point in going out there and tanking. But I mean, the first five games I go and like, really, like, I mean, I get to the end of the game. I'm like, okay, they lost like in a year where we're not even supposed to care if they win or lose. And last year when they won, I was happy. Last year when they lost, I was happy. Last year when they won, I was not happy. This year, I'm just like, meh. Either wins or losses, I'm just like, eh, whatever. But I am excited. You know, like, yeah, we talked about Keontae George. When Keontae George was well, I'm like, okay. Like, maybe this is it. The Jazz maybe hit on one of the rookies. And, you know, it's exciting to see if Keontae takes the next step. Yeah, we'll see if John Collins and Laurie or at least raise their stock to be, you know, a tradable asset. There are other things, but the wins and losses just don't matter to me. I'm feeling nothing for them because maybe it's because I'm still just disappointed about how last year ended and the draft pick they got. And maybe it's just as simple as that.
I definitely don't think I'm ever going to go dark again like I did during the Gordon Hayward years when things were really bad. And I just did. I barely checked box scores, and I checked out the most I ever have in my Jazz fandom. I think I'm too invested now, just in general, because I think the older you get, the more I get into old people.
Plus, I mean, I think now that during the Gordon Hayward years, you and I weren't really talking. Like we used to watch Jazz games in the Darren Williams era, in your basement, right? But then you decided to go move away and be a jerk. And, we kind of lost touch for a little, not, I won't say lost touch, but we didn't have the same like daily interaction of Jazz stuff. And now we have, we have Xer, we have Blue Sky, we have all this stuff where we can kind of stay connected to other Jazz stuff. And I think that's maybe more the reason why you're not going to go.
Yeah,
back
for
to
sure. Yeah. I've got more layers intertwined now, but I guess what I'm getting at is how many of these revelations we're talking is just. Yeah, I mean, some things are fine and okay, but at the end of the day, what stirs a strong emotion for me is a win,
yeah,
or a loss. You know, it's like if you hire someone to come paint, like you got this room, and someone comes in, you pay someone to come paint the room, and at first you watch them, at first you're like, hey, yeah, this is kind of cool, like, oh, that's how they get around that corner, that's how they do that edge, oh, that's really cool,
but then
they start doing the boring shit, which is just like painting the wall, and like when they get to the third wall, do you really need to sit there and watch them paint the third wall, or do you want to come back when the whole room's fucking painted? Like,
I love,
guess this is the way it is. I guess I'm a little excited for it, but I don't want to watch that. Like, if I'm going to turn it on, I'm watching it to see something good. Like, I don't want to see 82 games of like, oh man, Deontay George took another small step forward.
Or even
worse than that, Lauri Markkanen is still the same.
That was the
it
most
wouldn't be the pleasant surprise it is anymore, you know?
That was the most elaborate way of the most elaborate metaphor of watching paint dry that I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's some motherfuckers who love watching that paint dry. And that's, they get hard on it, and they tweet out video clips and they break it down. Some of y'all are just doing too much, you know, and that's the beauty of social media these days. You can get everything for free. Like, these days used to be services you had to pay for or know somebody, but you can figure out how to, you know, change a tire on your car, fix a broken circuit. These guys are out on Twitter giving you their draft boards that are color-coded, and then even breaking down film. And I'm like, first of all, how the fuck do you get the film? How do you record over it with your own audio? Like, it's all fascinating to me how you can pull it off. And what I'm saying is, it's not easy. It's like a like, it's a serious hobby, and they're into it.
Yeah,
and for nothing, really, other than just maybe 4 or 5 likes and maybe a conversation about it.
I think you and I were probably just born maybe like 20 years too late. Or too early, excuse me. Too early.
For sure, yeah.
We miss out on this stuff. Okay, Logan. So, you know, great, great metaphor. yeah. So, it's funny because I was saying that thing about like us like losing. I was like, I hope people don't think like we were like enemies for years or something. It just happens. You get older and friends move away and they just are out of your lives for a little bit. So just how it is, you know?
Yeah, no, there's no falling out. It was just life.
Yeah, especially since like some people are, you know, if you're listening to Logan on this podcast and you follow him on Twitter, there was like a real stretch of time, like I want to say years. Definitely years. Like I was gonna say like 5 or 6 years where he just wasn't on social media. And it's really hard to like it sounds stupid, but like it's hard to keep track or not keep track of keep up with people when there's not social media.
And it's true.
Like, yeah,
it's true.
I was like, oh man, like I'm like, oh, now Logan's on social media. Like literally, like we started this podcast 3-ish years ago, and you probably would have been one of my first choices to ask to be a co-host if you were on Twitter at the time, but you weren't. So you know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I know. I was there, but I was a quiet lurker. It was like, you know, 7 followers and just watching and learning. I was using it to consume my media. And it's a lot different when you're an active participant, like you said. You can keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, so. you're now part of the machine that you were working so hard to take down. So
take down the man.
So we talked about being worried about Kessler earlier. A lot of fans are being worried about Kessler. I mean, you and I think. Maybe we're not as worried. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. I'm not as worried because I never thought Kessler was like an all-star level player.
Yeah, we weren't as high on him, so we don't have like the hopes dashed as much.
Yeah, but, so I still think he can be good. It's just, you know, right now we're at game 5 of, again, you know, there's a lot of new players. There's a whole new season, so there's going to be a lot of guesswork and tinkering that's going to happen with lineups and stuff. So I think he's fine. I think Kessler's still a good player. I don't think what we saw last year, and you know, it is kind of, you know, he's frustrated with himself. He's a second year player. He's young. That's going to happen, you know, and maybe some of that frustration boils over from Steve Kerr being such a jerk and not playing the best player on this team, you know? So, you know, that's this Kessler for you. But another player that people are worried about, Taylor Hendricks, you know, he's been signed to G League practices for, the last couple of days. And people are like, oh my God, Taylor Hendricks is not on the roster. He's practicing with the G League. He's not going to get playing time. And even in a blowout versus the Grizzlies, he didn't get playing time today. You know, you and I talked about if he played a game in the G League, we'd be kind of worried. Has your stance changed on your worry of Taylor Hendricks?
No. I continue to be more torn, which I think is what my original stance was like, I think the people who were concerned have some legs to stand on, but I'm also there between, like, you know, let's still give the guy some time to see what happens. And I think the perfect thread, like, encapsulated my confusion is Josh, you know, one of the most optimistic Jazz fans out there, had a little thread going back and forth with Sarah Todd. And, you know, I understand she's a beat reporter, but I mean, I respect her opinion and process, right? Because one, she's not a fan of the team, and she's watched more basketball than she'll forget more basketball than I've ever even seen, right? So I value her opinion. She was very strong in the belief that it wasn't a big deal. But Josh made a lot of valid points, too, when he's shooting back. Like, history doesn't show that. And so I don't remember the last time I had a tug of war so strong on a player, because I've got no clue what his game is like. I have zero clue because I didn't do my own scouting and have my own big board or watch UCF games, which, I mean, I'm sure everybody was. But so I don't know what his game is like. I've been told he is supposedly in that Collins marking and size position range, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a potential other log jam. So, I mean, I don't know. But at the end of the day, like you and I talked about, dudes that are dudes are pretty much dudes from the beginning.
Yes.
So I think he couldn't play tonight, too, because I think I said – I haven't been on Twitter much today, but I think I saw someone say he and Sensabaugh couldn't play today because they'd already been assigned to the G League or something, so they weren't even active for the game or something.
Well, they were recalled. They were recalled before the game, so they were active on the roster. They were on the bench, but they also had practice for like 3 hours earlier, so –
Still, they did kick the shit out of him. They didn't get on the floor. That was a little bit weird.
you gotta get Fontecchio on the floor.
And the more I think about this, like I don't buy into the G League reps thing because it's a lower level. Like you said, it's a lower level of competition. It's not like the NBA. Yeah. So I guess it's better than sitting alone and doing nothing. Yeah. And like in the NBA, they don't really practice. So
Will Hardy said it today.
With your friends.
Will Hardy said it today. But, like I mean, they asked him, like then, and he said, "Yo, we want to get like the best thing to do is to get live reps for these kids."
I guess.
Me too.
Can't you send down to the local rec center on the road and have them play 5-on-5 against a bunch of high level borderline college guys?
That's how they did in Space Jam. So
I'm just saying, I don't know that. The G League's weird. I mean, I guess it keeps them playing, but I mean, I'm confident that they aren't running the same sets. They're not playing the same level of competition. It's just about letting them keep playing basketball, I guess, right?
Right. So, and I think that's, you know, look, we made the point already that the G League just isn't up to the level. Like, I remember that. I know the thread you're talking about. Star Todd said the G League is running the same system as the Jazz. So they are getting sets or reps running the Jazz sets.
Oh, they are.
Sets.
All
right. Right.
Well, like, fortunate for the Jazz, there's a couple different franchises who don't have direct links.
That is true. So, again, like we have the data. Like nobody that, you know, no top 10 picks that go through the G League has turned out to be anything worthwhile. Has turned out to be anything special. And all star level special. And but again, the Jazz had one out of three picks, and it looks like one's going to hit. So that's a pretty good.
It's not to say that all of them come in from game one and start and play.
Right.
But they all are at least sitting on the bench somewhere.
Yeah.
And, right, like they're not, they haven't been demoted to the G League, I guess.
And so I guess my process in it, and you know, I don't scout college basketball. I don't do this, but you know what I do? I'm a gambler. I play Powerball. I play Mega Millions. I'll buy a scratcher. I'll go roll some craps in Vegas. I'll throw $100 into a slot machine. So how I view this Taylor Hendricks thing is, look. The Jazz had a chance to give themselves some odds, right? They could have lost more games. They could have tried to figure out a way to lose more games, and they just didn't. Okay, I made my peace with it. That is something that happened. They could not get a better pick than the ninth pick in the draft. It made me sad. It made me angry. But you have to just, you know, sometimes accept life for what it is. So number nine pick, like. The chances of them getting a home run at pick number nine versus pick number one was much smaller. Getting a home run at pick number one is hard enough. So, you know, telling me that, you know, eight spots later, the chances are just drastically different. And, you know, I accept that as well. But that is to say that there's a non-zero chance it could happen. There are guys that get picked later in the draft. Steph Curry's I think the perfect example is Giannis, right? People love throwing the Giannis in there. If there's any other names in there, go ahead and throw them out there. But you know, these are the type of guys like, okay, cool. Giannis is sort of the template that I'm using here. Like Giannis was a guy that got drafted, had a lot of raw tools, didn't really blow up his first year and a half. And is one of the best players, you know, a perennial MVP candidate. And he went a lot later in the draft than people, than the Lucas, than the Kevin Durants, than the LeBrons. So the thing is that Taylor Hendricks lottery ticket, it's like Schrodinger's cat. doesn't mean he's done. Just because he hasn't played yet, just because he hasn't played significant minutes, just because he's not doing what Victor's doing, just because he's not doing what the Thompson twins are doing, just because he's not playing as much as Scoot Henderson, it doesn't necessarily mean yet that his career is a bust, his career is over. It's an unknown. So that lottery ticket is still there. Like, we didn't hit the Powerball in week one. Okay, cool. I still have 9 more draws before that ticket's expired. And so that's how I look at it. Like, I'm willing to give it a little bit of patience because I don't want to be like, all right, this year, he didn't do anything, do the McCabe Pearson thing where, oh, this guy's a bust, right?
That's an interesting package, because as I was listening intently, I was like, oh my God, who is already saying this guy is done? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you started that story,
right,
you were like, oh, he's already done. Like, I was like, oh God, maybe I'm being more negative than I thought. God, you're really negative on it. But then you took a nice little journey there to where there might be more potential.
Yeah.
I think for me, the thing that gives me the most anxiety is I have this therapy session with you, is I think it's still the unknown. It's like, mm-hmm. It goes back to like, do I think that Summer League is important? No. Do I think preseason is important? No. But the problem is, like, he didn't play any of those things. Yeah. But so, like, he's this giant mystery of, like,
right,
what is he? And this team is okay, but this team is definitely not, like, Wiseman trying to crack the fucking Warriors. I mean, it's the Jazz who might be a 500 team if things break well.
Yeah.
And so it's just really weird that he – I don't know. That, I guess that's the part that gives me the most – because, like I said, I truly am somewhere in between. Like, maybe, let's give him time. But, history doesn't show that it's great. But then – he's just a giant mystery. Like, why? I mean, it's almost like Hardy's just fucking with us at this point. He's just like, I will not play him. I'm going to make everyone really upset. Wow. I'm going to take away your Jazz Plus.
take away your Jazz. Like, and like,
look, sorry, I was projecting.
My Ryan Smith and Hardy. Like the part of the Sarah Todd thing was like, look, they have Laurie and they have John Collins. But they have a hard time enough already trying to find minutes for those two guys. Taylor Hendricks plays the same position. So maybe you could say the Jazz drafted the wrong position, but you at number 9, you draft the guy that you think has the most potential to be something. Like, we don't judge guys off their first game, off their first 10 games, off their first, it's their whole career. Again, if you judged Giannis off his...
Was Collins even on the team when we had the draft? I don't remember how that all shook down. I don't remember.
I think he was, but... Yeah,
or it wasn't official, but everyone knew he was on his way.
It's Schrodinger's cat. That metaphor I came up with like right there, like 5 minutes ago. But we don't really know yet. There's a logjam, and there's a lot of things going against him. Like, look, if I were to bet here and now, over under half an All-Star game for Taylor Hendricks, I would have to bet the under because that's where the smart money is. But if you're a gambler, man, like if you told me you gave me 100-1 odds, half a game, I'm like, I would take the over, because like I'm like, all right, cool, like, it's a long shot, but if it hits, man, I'm making some money, so it's a long shot. I'll say that, but doesn't mean it's over. Doesn't mean the ticket's expired. So so that's how I feel about Hendricks. So maybe it's giving me more zen. To deal with the bull crap that's happening in that regard, hopefully somebody goes and aggregates my Schrodinger's cat analogy for Taylor Hendricks there. And you mentioned Jazz Plus. Let's finish with we try not to be the most negative Jazz podcast out there, and this one is not a good episode of that. But there's still some negative emotions that we have to talk about. Jared and I tried our best to convey the frustrations of Root Sports, Jazz Plus, Ryan Smith. But now you're here, Logan. You are literally affected by this. Take us through the process here. The day before the season, life is good. We had literally, I think, got done the week before, 4 or 5 days before, doing a podcast going, all right, well, Ryan Smith, like, we don't like to give him his due, but he finally did something right. Like, got league past the, and then the day before the season said, no, fuck off. Sorry.
Yeah, like I told you before we started, I hadn't finished the last half of that episode, that pod that we did before he took it out from us. It was painful to listen back to how I was sort of giving him credit. I've been fortunate enough to have multiple venting sessions on this since then, being on Twitter. And then, you know, for your reading pleasure, go check out the article by Ryan Miller on KSL.
KSL.com/sports, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I don't know how this works, and I never talked to Ryan Miller in my life, but I was like, I started trying to be really, really, you know, calm and balanced, and by the end, I was just fucking yelling, and I just, I wasn't swearing at him because he was a stranger, but
right.
I think he did a good job of capturing my frustration and rage within his article.
Yes, he did.
It's just a really fucked up thing to do. The timing. Like I said, there's a number of things that are terrible. I don't need to rehash all of it, but essentially we had been told, and this is the part I didn't realize either, because I was just excited that we had NBA League Pass. But what I've seen multiple times on Twitter is Ryan Smith actually said, go get League Pass. So that's frustrating. And he offered his half-assed olive branch, which was, you know, send me your screenshot.
DM
your receipt.
DM me.
Yeah, and I got a little rant on that one too. Yep. Yeah, so he gets on a press conference and does what he does, which is I'm going to handle this right now, which is he doesn't have an answer. So what he did was he heaped a whole shit ton of work on some poor employee of his who has to sort through this now, because Ryan Smith isn't personally handling it. It's someone else who got to deal with this rat's nest that is send me your DMs.
I said that last episode.
We
too.
Also learned that you can't do that. So he says, send. He didn't even say DM. He says, send me. What the fuck does that mean? So everyone assumes it's on Twitter, DM him. So some folks get on Twitter and they try to DM him. And guess what? They're not verified Twitter users, so they can't even DM him. And so my new jump in, how do I get it to him? What does it mean? First of all, the message is so vague. What do you mean send it to you? What does that even mean? And then it's, you know, and then it's come to find out, all right, well, he can't even, that offer doesn't even help me because Jazz Plus has never come in this direction. So I can go get a League Pass refund, and I think that exists in the world to get a League Pass refund. And that might be okay for people, the 17 people. That's the thing that pisses me off is this rollout only helped like 17 people. Like the people, like you said on the episode last week, already had it through KJazz or Jazz Plus. He rolls out this new expanded territory, which is just like 4 miles north of where it already was before, and pats himself on the back for it, all the while saying, oh, but you do have other options now too. And this other weird middle range is there'll be, you know, Fubo is going to carry KJazz. Okay, but the rest of you, like the majority of you in the populated areas, the city areas that are affected by this, or entire states for that matter, like Montana, half of Washington, half of Oregon. I will correct you guys from last week. It's Eastern Washington and Oregon, not Western.
Oh, yeah. East,
but
yeah, I don't know.
You know, the heavy populated areas were just got screwed. We were, because NBA League Pass was $100 for one team, $150 for multiple streams. I can watch every team.
Right. Devices.
And it was great. Yes. And so then he decides that he's going to do this and roll it out. And now my only option that exists now is to go buy DirecTV package or go buy Fubo package and pay. You know, we all like to throw out the nice number of $70. It's not $70. We all know what it's going to be with fees and taxes. It's going to be closer to probably 85 to 90. I'm just going to round up to 100 to get that package. So instead of 100, $150 for 6 months of the NBA, I now need to drop $600 to $700. It helped nobody. This new expanded territory was minuscule, which I don't think anyone's really touching on, is that he had this expanded territory, which really isn't much at all. It was unnecessary. If you're going to pull a rug out from under us, just let us figure out the hard way. But don't tweet out a message the day before the game doing a victory lap over fucking us over. Right. Nobody got it better. Nobody.
Nope.
Nobody got it better. The people who had League Pass before, who are eligible for Jazz Plus, they didn't get it better. Mm-mm. Even if they get a straight swap, they get one NBA team. Mm-hmm. For the cost of all the NBA teams. So we'll say dollar-wise, it's a wash. But for me viewing, it's not a wash.
But
the rest of us got screwed on a much higher level.
The Jazz Plus
nobody
YouTube content.
Nobody got it better. Yeah, nobody got it better. Not a single person. Again, if you want to go financial wash, okay, fine. But the seven people in Idaho Falls got to swap it out straight across. There's not a bigger financial hit, but they could have watched every NBA team now. Now they can only watch one.
Especially on
so
an app
that, in my mind, is a slight miss.
Especially but, on an, I mean, not that League Pass is the perfect app, but at least it's been around for a while that, you know, some of the bugs have been worked out. Jazz Plus is a brand new app that, you know, already has a few people complaining about certain things. It's a fine app to start off with, but you know, it's not on every device. A lot of people who have Samsung devices can't actually use it, from what I hear. Because you know, I'm not paying for Jazz Plus, but
Samsung or is it Apple devices that can't use it? I think it's Samsung. It works, but Apple it doesn't.
Yeah, Apple would be even worse because everybody has Apple TVs or whatever. Like it's like, well, then you have to get a Roku. Like you can't even use an Amazon Fire Stick, which you know, fair. I mean, Fire Stick is usually behind anyway. But that's all to say that we shit on Ryan Smith podcasts. But then he does stuff like this where it's like, yeah, well, now you see why we shit on him. You know, is he the worst owner in the league? No, but he's also the owner in the league that like makes it seem like he's doing everything for the benefit of everybody else. Like he tries to be your best friend. He tries to, and I'm sure he does do a lot of things that are like charitable and stuff, but he does stuff like this too that shows that look, it's not all gravy, folks.
Yeah, I think your point you made on the pod last week that I wasn't able to join you guys on is he hasn't really proved anything yet.
Yeah.
But from the second he bought the team, everyone had a lot of connections to that, to where, oh my God, I could be that guy. I'm from Provo too. I wear my hat the same way. I'm a tech bro too. And so it was exciting, but he hasn't. He's plucked a lot of low hanging fruit. But I think the jury's still out.
Look, if him and Danny Age figure out how to put a championship roster together in the next 4 or 5 years, then you know, come back, aggregate us, and tell us how stupid we are. But you know, as of you know, October, November now, geez, November 2nd, 2023. Like, what has he done? What has he really done? You know, like
his major rollouts have been flops. He's done some good things, right. Like you said, the Dwayne Wade thing was good, the scholarship thing was good,
right.
Pat McAfee is debatable. I like Pat McAfee. There's a whole shit ton of people who don't like Pat
McAfee. Apparently,
it's
weird.
That's been a polarizing response.
But really, the Pat McAfee, like, after – here's the thing. That really – like, if people were like, people need to talk better about Utah, Pat McAfee talked the shit up about Utah, the state, the Jazz even, on his show the very next morning. So yeah. that stuff mattered.
But okay, that's true. Now I'm going to take a little, because I got to push back on that.
Okay.
Why was Pat McAfee here? Did it have anything to do with Ryan Smith? No. He was here for the football team on the hill is why he
right,
was here.
Right.
Good for him for taking advantage of the circumstance, yeah. I guess. But what I'm saying is that was a byproduct of something else being successful that he was able to capitalize on.
I think that's good, though. Like, Ryan Smith saw an opportunity, like, hey, this guy's got a voice. This guy's got, you know, I mean, look, there's a whole lot of people, you know, there's a whole lot of sound bites. Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, you know, All-Star Weekend about people shitting on Utah. And that hurts, quote unquote, the brand, right? So to have at least, you know, the Pat McAfee voice going, you know, hey, shit, the Jazz are pretty cool. Hey, shit, the state of Utah is pretty cool. That's just a little bit on the other end, right? Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Some of you all still care about that. I just don't. I mean, that's true. It's better than being shit on. But here's what I will ask you. Do you really think it's plausible in our lifetime that image gets so flipped that people actually want to come to Utah and play professional basketball? Do you think it will ever get that far?
So I think there's a larger problem with the NBA is that the NBA has like 5 desirable spots and the rest, the 25 of us, are all playing by different rules. So no, I don't, because you know, it's just,
yeah. And again, I'm saying that some of it is even Utah's fault, right? I'm not blaming it all on Utah. I'm just saying that
the NBA's marketing
doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but it is just nice to have, I guess some positive stories to push back against all the negative stuff. But you know, again, it like Larry Fitzgerald was at the Memphis game tonight, of all things. So I don't know what Ryan Smith is doing. I was like, you got pointed out to me. They're like, hey, Larry Fitzgerald's down there. I'm like, okay, is NFL coming to Utah? What's going on there? So
my favorite next jump is that we're getting all the major professional sports.
Right.
Well, you guys are getting it. I don't have anything. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No Boise. All right. Well, so, you know, Ryan Smith, I'm sure we'll have more rants because, I mean, the part about that Ryan Miller article that KSL.com wrote about you specifically was that like the Root Sports thing was, it sounded like it was more like last second. And the reason they did it is because I'm going to misquote it, but it felt like, I'm trying to summarize it, was that they thought they were going to get more fans by being on Root Sports than by the fans that they're going to lose by getting rid of their league pass. Like, they knew it was a conscious decision, like, oh crap, we're canceling these people's league pass. Like, they knew, they're like, yeah, we're going to cancel these people's league pass, but it'll be worth it because we're getting Root Sports in people's homes. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, that support early on in those days, I wasn't understanding. It took a couple of days and a couple of different articles and a couple of different people explained to me what that meant. But it's also wrong. That's true. It is more accessible to people because they, if you look at the raw numbers of, hey, people in this market, there's, let's just say for speaking sake, there's 3,000 people in the Idaho area, and this area that's been blocked out. There's 3,000 people there that own that buy league pass or signed up for league pass. But there's, in that whole geography, there's 500,000 people. And if we know that FUBO is broadcasting to 7,000 of them,
right?
That the Jazz are now an option for 7,000 as opposed to 3,000. Right. Yeah, but that's assuming they're all going to go turn it on and watch it. And why would they? I don't.
Yeah,
TV doesn't work the same way. But the best part was I don't know who the guy was. He's a new mutual Idahoan who's raging, and I've never seen him on Twitter before, but now we're following each other. But the next day he tweeted out an article about how Adam Silver is saying this, the NBA is concerned because the young fans don't know how to find their product. And the juxtaposition of that, where the Jazz are defending why they did this because it's now available in more homes, is fantastic. Like the guy said, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but this isn't TBS anymore. This isn't cable TV where kids are at home all summer long and only have, 23 channels and I flip through and watch it. It doesn't work that way anymore. When is the last time you turned on your TV and you just scrolled to see what was on?
That's a good point.
My daughter has never done it, and she never will do it.
Yeah.
When's the last time you just flipped through the channels?
Yeah.
Maybe the last time I did it was when I was in a hotel and nothing else was working and I was bored. I might flip through the channels to see. Nobody flips through channels anymore. You turn on the TV, you turn on your streaming app to find something specific.
You find what you want. Yep.
You don't just scroll. Yeah. It doesn't happen.
It's not
going to happen with the next generation. Arya doesn't even know what a fucking commercial is. She calls it a advertisement that pops up for 3 seconds in their YouTube video. She has no concept of how TV used to work. So, anyways.
I mean, it's interesting that I wish the Smith Entertainment Group would hire some company that can go and, ask people's opinions on stuff like this.
Source data for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just
it's wild. That they can't hire.
Yeah. If only there was something out there for them to use. So.
And that's the part that makes me just so. I think that I go from anger and rage to just like laughing. Like you got to be kidding. The man built his billions and again, good things have happened. But he's had some gnarly flameouts with this stuff, and it's just like, and all because you didn't check with the consumer first. So because I don't know. I still don't know if he did this thing with us because he didn't know. Like you made a good comparison. He started the fire, then he put out the fire. I don't know. I don't believe that's intentional. I just think he doesn't know any better, and he should know better before he does these things. And no one's telling him that, hey, this is a bad idea. This isn't working.
Yeah. When you're a billionaire, you don't have to be forward thinking. You just have to be able to PR your way through it. So,
which is wild because they wouldn't become billionaires if they weren't that way at some point.
Right. Yeah.
But when it comes to running an NBA franchise, like you said, there is no correlation. Being successful.
Right.
Owning a team is, and by all means, if his goal of success is the bottom line, he is going to be doing well with that. But we can judge success differently.
Because all the owners are billionaires. Sports. They're all billionaires, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are billionaires in the NFL. There's billionaires in the NBA. A lot of these billionaires were fans of the team that they own. It doesn't make a difference. You just got to figure out the way and in the NBA, I think it comes down to making sure you have a top tier star, and so hopefully the Jazz get that someday. Logan, that was a lot of stuff there that we got through. So a lot of work.
Wasn't a half hour we talked about.
Yeah, it was not. Like we had to put a mid roll break in it. All right, so get 5 games in. Jazz are 2-3. Are excited. I'm glad that I do love Twitter rallying around and be like, well, you can do this, this, and this. And like, to have, like they're giving you ways of like, you have to buy a 30-foot HDMI cable. You have to do this. You have to do this. So
you saw that too, though.
Oh, right? Yeah. It is not the, like, this is like one of those, I see this like, all right, cool. Everyone has committed this in some way or in form. Like, let me tell you how to get around this. So.
Yeah. So, it's just a PSA for the people at home. VPN isn't as easy as what you think it is. No. There are ways to work through it. Yep. That's fine. I'll give you that. You can figure it out some nights. Second of all, as Sarah Todd and others have pointed out, there are, you know, illegal streams that you can watch.
Yep.
There's also a way that maybe you can group. You can all get together with a group of people and, you know, and seven of you can split the cost of Fubo, which is also not what Fubo wants you to do. So getting sketchy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to worry about the sketchy part. The bottom line is this, who. None of us should have to do that.
Why?
I want to give you my money to consume your product, and you. But I have to draw the line somewhere. Mm-hmm. $700 is the line.
Yeah,
you know, again, Nick,
I think you said like you're making it hard for me to give you money. Like yeah. What other businesses? Like, what other businesses? Like, all right, cool. Like, you know. Yeah, you're right. Fubo can't be happy about like, all right, so many people can watch Fubo at this time, you know, but.
Yeah, the stuff that's happened makes me most angry. The secondary thing that pisses me off more than that is all the people who will, and not the people who are, you know, trying to helpfully offer up. I get that's helpful. Hey, here's a helpful suggestion. It's the people that are condescending about it and say, oh, a VPN is hard. Get a VPN.
Just or do this.
There's still, you know, illegal streaming services still exist. Or you could do. I'm like, yeah. I get what you're saying, and I can do all those things, and I've done all those things, and I will do all those things. But again, the point is, I shouldn't have to. And even more than that, I shouldn't have to do it the day before the fucking season starts. Yeah,
that was a we are. Oh,
and the last thing, just the last thing that pisses me off. No real steps on how to resolve any of your problems, right? It's not like, oh, hey, you're really fucked over. Here's step A. If you live here, here's step A to get it corrected. B, C. Yeah. It's just this big mess again, where it's like, you know, people are trying to do resources. You don't even really know what your options are until. You know, the sleuths have gone on the internet and figured out the best possible way. It wasn't that Ryan Smith got on the video and gave you steps one. Hey, if you're in this zone, do this. Here's how it happens. If you're in this zone, here's this.
Yeah. Ryan Smith was like,
hey. It was just, here's a link to get your league pass cashed out. Okay, Ryan, that's fucking
Ryan
awesome.
Ryan Smith was like, hey, we know we're fucking you over. And you know, like you said.
I don't think he did, though. I think he was just so foolish. I really think I think he was just ignorant enough. He didn't know. I don't believe he's that malicious. I think he's just clueless.
Yeah, he's clueless because, like, again, like I told that story about the All Star party, or not the All Star party, the draft party. How my company was supposed to, you know, was trying to say, hey, we're partners with you. Let's partner together and put a Jazz draft party together, and was told for months that nope, not gonna do one. And the day before, Ryan Smith gets on Twitter and like, oh, people want to have a draft party. Weird. Let's do it, right? And now, you know, interns and everybody have to go and try to put everything together last second. And again, same thing. It's like, hey, we know that, you know, we do know that your league pass is not going to work now. You know what? Email my intern and, you know, someone who's working for the Jazz for college credit, and they'll go through the emails and take care of it for you. So that's just, again, champagne problems. When you're a billionaire, that's stuff you can do. So, well, I think I'm, shout out to all the people who followed me on Twitter. They should be just following the right account, Jazz High Notes 2. Shout out to Brett Hine, Roy High Royal, KSL Sports, game night, game of the week is going to be at Roy High. And he was like, hey, we should have Hu Tran behind the camera. But I'm like, I will be somewhere else. So I will not be there. Sarah Hildebrand, you tweeted her out. She was trying to give away some Laurel Bowl tickets today's game, which apparently was really easy to get. Larson.
Yeah. And Sarah, awesome because, well, she offered those tickets up to me in the DMs and said I could have them if I wanted them, but I wasn't able to take them. So
thank you
to Sarah for. But quickly jumped on it and shot it out to the world to see what else was there. So it's cool to see that community come together for us. So,
Roy High Royals. So Larson tweeted like the game. Like he said, Laurel Bowl tickets were like $25 to get tickets to this game. And I was there. Like it looked 95% full. So I was like, okay, well, even with cheap tickets, people are still going on a random Wednesday night to go watch Jazz and the Ja Morantless Grizzlies. So, anything else in that notebook of yours that we need to hit?
Yeah, I do want to shout out as well. Alma Bean has a new podcast. what is it called? The Highlighter Highlights. Aggie fan Dan, you know, sent me a DM the other day and said, "Hey, part of the Jazz Pod co-op ? And I'm like, "Sure, we'll take anyone who will join us." Right. So, yep. I don't even know. I don't know if it's an official group anymore, but it was cool to see that, that Dan was still thinking about the co-op and wanted to make sure that Alma would be, and Alma's awesome. I mean, you see him on, he does a good job of covering the Jazz.
Yep.
So
I met him over the summer, like in person. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you, I don't know. Like I said, yeah, we're officially saying you're part of the Jazz Pod co-op. So you have no choice now.
Yeah. The twos and threes are coming back, supposedly. So
that's what we nice. Hear.
Yep.
I don't know if I believe that or not.
Yeah, like they've been gone for so long. Jazzagels, RIP. You know, just I don't even see the Jazzagels on Twitter anymore. So
yeah, I don't see them at all. Period.
Yeah. No. So they've moved on from the Jazz Pod Co-op. We need a Boy Links type podcast in the Jazz Pod Co-op. So.
I mean, Gitsy did say that our listening to our podcast was the equivalent of an audio orgasm. So I want to make sure that got recognized because the man has a way with words, and that's a pretty high praise.
That's our bumper. I thought I was going to do something else for a bumper. That's our bumper.
And just one more question, I don't know why I can't get it straight in my head. But is it pronounced, is it Arn or Arnie? Like every time I think I've got his fucking name right,
Arnie.
Someone says it differently. You guys said it 14 different ways. Okay, fuck. He's Arn.
You have these
ways you can't deprogram it no matter how many times right. You try to get it right. It's like, it's just to me, I see it as Arn.
I met him at that golf.
You guys said Arnie. I'm like, who are you talking about?
I met him at that golf thing a couple years ago for the Utes. And he's like, "I'm Arnie." I was like, "Oh, I've been saying it wrong the whole time." So,
see, yeah. Arnie is a much cooler name than Arn. Like, I will give you that. Arnie is a badass name. The problem is in my brain, I already programmed it as Arn. It's like I can't deprogram it.
But it's like being called Hugh and Who for years. So,
well, yeah, that one's just fucking shit. Anyways, but at least I'm trying. It's just,
right.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. It just happens. So. Good podcast. Look, I'm glad that, you know, I'm sorry that you've had a long work day. Go enjoy some wrestling and, you know, we'll come back here next week and talk some more jazz and we'll see you guys next time.
You know, when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks, that's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.